You're listening to the MLB Pipeline Podcast with your host, Ed Randall.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, and welcome to the MLB.com Pipeline Podcast. I'm joined by our draft and minor league expert, Jonathan Mayo. Jim Callis is away, and we welcome you to our Trade Deadline Podcast special. Troy Tulowitzki, Scott Kazmir, Johnny Cueto, Juan Uribe, and Tyler Clipper have all been traded. Now let's take a look at the prospects that went the other way. The huge Tulowitzki-Reyes trade means two of Toronto's top five prospects leave Toronto, along with one other for the Rockies, all of them Jonathan right-handed pitchers, Jeff Hoffman, Miguel Castro, and Jesus Tinoco. Tell us about them.
Yeah, I mean, they're Rockies are clearly trying to do one thing and one thing only, and that's amass power arms who can sink the ball. I think they decided long ago, Ed, that that's kind of what can work in Coors Field, and you know, they've worked hard to try to develop their own pitching. Last few years, they've gone a lot heavier in pitching early in the draft, and this just kind of adds to their coffers a bit. You know, Hoffman is obviously the biggest name. He's the guy who's on the top 100 list. You know, was high up on the Blue Jays list at the time of the trade, and he'll settle in into the top five of the Rockies' top 30 once the deal's official. We're re-ranking all the lists. They should go live soonish, so people should keep an eye out for that. But you know, Hoffman was a guy who was a number 9 overall pick in the 2014 draft, even though he needed and had Tommy John surgery in May. He'd been back on the mound, already in Double-A, probably throwing better than you would expect a Tommy John guy to throw, and this stuff is going to get better. He's got top of the rotation kind of stuff, so you know, having him and John Gray in the same system gets him two like big, strong frontline starter types. You know, Castro's got some big league time. He actually served as the Blue Jays closer for a short period of time at the beginning of this year. He started. He's relieved. I think it's still up in the air, you know, what you want to do with him long term. He's got the stuff to start. You know, whether or not he can maintain it and command the ball well enough to do so remains to be seen. But another guy who can get it up into the upper 90s, again, with some sink, there's a good change up as well. And Tinoco is kind of interesting because he was all the way down to 29th before the re-rank. He was going to make a big jump up to top 15 or so guys on the new Blue Jays list. So he'll be in the top 20 in the new Rockies list. Took a nice step forward, made his full season debut in May. Tall and projectable, you know, 6'4", 190. Again, fastball up to the mid-90s with the sink. Breaking ball and changeup to go along with it that continue to improve. So while he's sort of behind ranking-wise of the other two, he's still got quite a bit of ceiling left.
The A's traded Tyler Clipper, Jonathan, to the Mets for pitcher Casey Meisner, their third-round pick last year. And interestingly enough, the highest-ranked pick that the Mets have traded during the Sandy Alderson administration.
Yeah, well, they've worked hard to try to rebuild that farm system for, you know, a couple of reasons. One is to get guys to the big leagues. And two is to have more depth so they can trade a guy like Casey Meisner. You know, and not feel the hurt that much. Meisner's, you know, an interesting guy, another guy who kind of has improved. I think he was around 15th on the Mets list. He was going to move up to 10th on the re-rank. So he's a guy who took a nice step forward this year, earned a promotion from the South Atlantic League to the Florida State League, and he's still only 20. There's a lot to like. You have a tall, a big, 6'7" left-hander who's throwing a lot more strikes and has a chance to have a good three-pitch mix. So to me, that was a nice get by the A's. Clipper will help the Mets, and like I said, it doesn't hurt them. They haven't given up any top prospects as of yet, but I think Meisner gives the A's a pretty good left-handed pitching prospect.
That's the second of the two Mets trades. To get Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson, the Mets traded two right-handed pitchers from the 2014 draft, John Gant, 12th round choice, and Rob Whalen, who was taken in the 21st round. What about them, Jonathan?
Whalen was in the Mets top 30, kind of a pitchability guy. Goes right after hitters. Gant wasn't in the top 30, but could have probably snuck in there. And both of them figure into the Braves' top 30 now. So, again, we're not talking high-end arms, but we're talking, in terms of the Braves, more depth. I mean, it's what John Hart has done since he's taken over. In addition to keeping an eye on the big league club and trying to keep them as competitive as possible, he's really worked to add extra draft picks, to add depth to a farm system that had kind of laid fallow for a few years. And he's done exactly that. And those two guys are not, frontline starter types, but I think they have a chance to pitch in the big leagues. Maybe they're more mid to back end rotation kind of guys when all is said and done.
Oakland started the run of trade deadline deals by sending Scott Kazmir to his hometown Astros and dug into Houston's deep farm system, taking right-hander Daniel Mengden, a fourth-round pick last year, and catcher Jacob Nottingham, two players not knocking on the door of the major leagues. And that's a departure, Jonathan, for Billy Beane.
Right, yeah, usually he tries to, and he's not alone in that. Teams that are selling will often look to bring in guys who will help sooner rather than later, maybe sometimes even immediately give him a chance. Nottingham is the more interesting of the two. He was a guy who was a little bit lower down on the Astros list but was going to make a big jump into their top 10 based on the year that he's had. He can really hit. He should be able to continue to hit for average and power. The big question is whether or not he can stay behind the plate. If he can, even if he's an offensive-minded catcher, his value is obviously a lot higher given what he can do offensively. I think the good news is if he needs to move to first base, it's looking like the bat will profile pretty well there. He's got arm strength. That part works well behind the plate. He's a big dude, so his agility, footwork, things like that all still need some work. But as you said, he's still a little ways away. I think it's a good sign that his bat hasn't been impacted negatively with, having to work so hard on the nuances of catching, which, always can take a little bit longer. So if I'm the A's, I keep him behind the plate and see what happens, give him at least another year and then make a determination if you want to get that bat to the big leagues.
To get Johnny Cueto, a pending free agent, the Royals sent a trio of left-handed pitching prospects to Cincinnati. Brandon Finnegan, who last year became the first ever to go from the College World Series to the World Series in the same season, along with John Lamb and Cody Reed. Jonathan?
Yeah. This is one of these trades where I think both teams got what they wanted. Obviously, he's just a two-month rental, but the Royals get their top of the rotation kind of guy for the next couple of months, and that could be huge, especially come postseason time when you shorten up rotations. The Reds didn't have a ton of pitching depth. They certainly didn't have left-handed pitching depth. They had Amir Garrett and not a whole lot else that you'd really hang your head on. And they get three guys who are really interesting. Finnegan, obviously, is made to the big leagues as a reliever. He started his junior year in college. He was working on getting stretched back out at times this year, except that the Royals needed him in the bullpen. The Reds want him to start. They're going to get him stretched back out. It's going to probably take a little more time. But they also have a track record of taking guys who were relievers and letting them start, even guys without the tracker. I mean, Michael Lorenzen never started a game in his life in college until he went to pro ball. So they clearly know what they're doing. Cody Reed is a guy who took a big step forward this year as well. A big left-hander who has really started to put things together. So I think the trade, he made it to Double A. His last start with the Royals, he threw, I think, was seven shutout innings in Double A. He's been up there for about four or five starts, so he's not that far away and is really headed in the right direction. Then John Lamb is a guy who, at a few years ago, was considered one of the best left-handed pitching prospects in baseball. And then he had Tommy John surgery, and it just some guys come back quickly, and some guys it takes longer, and it just took him a long time. And this year was the first year that it looked like his stuff was as close to all the way back as it's been. Fastball was up to 94, 95. He added a cutter, which made him a lot more successful. He and was having success in AAA for the first time since he came back from the surgery. He'd kind of been stuck in AAA. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw the Reds give him some big league time this year just to see what it looks like.
Cody Reed did something really classy, posting a video on Twitter to thank the Royals and all that they did for him. And Cody Reed joins us right now. Cody, wonderful of you to do this. I'm Ed Randall. We welcome you to our Pipeline podcast. What a lovely gesture for you to do this and thank the Kansas City Royals.
Thanks for having me. And I was with my JUCO, kind of like the stats guy and whatnot, and he thought it would be a good idea to post a video, so he recorded it for me, and then we just put it out there.
Well, and people should go check it out, because I've seen people thank their former organization before, and you know, but to put it on video to say, you know, thank you to the Royals for giving my chance and on to the next chapter. I just thought it was a cool idea. In fact, I was joking, we're going to move you up in the Reds rankings a few notches just for the video. But speaking of next chapters, Cody, I know you're en route to meeting your new team. Obviously, getting traded is kind of a weird, you learn the business side of things, but can you tell us a little bit about where your mind is at right now as you're about to embark on this new chapter?
I live just south of Memphis and drove down to Pensacola last night and got in pretty late. Met with the clubhouse manager and Pensacola team and flew out early this morning. Actually, I landed and just got to my hotel about 10 minutes ago here in Chattanooga, ready to meet the team today, because today marks, I think, their first game of the 10-game road stand.
So I would imagine that right now, especially because you got up at some god-awful time in the morning to fly out, that you're a combination of excited and exhausted. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. I think the bus is at 2:45 to go to the field, so I'm trying to, you know, try to sneak an hour or two in before the bus.
Well, we won't keep you for too long. I don't want to keep away from quality napping time. But tell us a little bit. You know, this year you took like a big step forward. Obviously, that promotion to AA is often can be a tough one, and things really seem to be clicking for you. What did you see as the biggest difference between you as a pitcher now and, say, even a year ago?
Honestly, I think it's confidence. Last year, I go back to when I first got drafted. I was sent to Idaho Falls for their short season, and I don't know, I had one outing, and I did all right, and my confidence just kind of slowly just decreased, and I was never really had that problem before. And then when I go to low A the next year, kind of the same thing happened. I had a really rough first outing when I was in low A, and just confidence is the key. And then after the season in Lexington, which was the low A team, I told myself I'm going to work a little harder this off season and not let that happen again. And I just worked harder, came in the spring with a better shape than the year before, and just came out ready to compete. My confidence was up from the get-go, and that's just kind of where it's been ever since.
Was it a good vote of confidence at the organization, you know, even though you've, as you said, you scuffled a little bit in Lexington at times, that they moved you up anyway, you know, that they didn't ask you to repeat the level? Did that, you know, give you that?
Yeah, I first thought I was going to. I thought I was going to repeat the level, and that kind of hurt my confidence a little bit. And I think that was more of a motivational thing, is to not, you know, repeat the level and try to work my tail off for the spring and end up doing that, and they gave me the chance to go to Wilmington in the high A club.
Yeah, so I'm sure that certainly didn't hurt that they said, all right, we saw enough of you this spring and how you worked so hard in the offseason that you can handle the move up.
Yep, exactly.
Now, when do you know when you're going to get to pitch for the first time with your new club?
I have no idea. I was actually, when I found out, this is a quick story, when I found out I was traded, I was actually in Springfield, Missouri, ready to pitch that day, and my parents came and surprised me at Springfield to watch me pitch, and I'm out to eat lunch with them before the game, and I get a call from my manager with the Naturals team, and he told me I've been traded, and so that lunch was a little awkward, because they drove so far, and now I just had to turn around and drive right back, and that was pretty tough. And I mean, a tough time packing up all my stuff in front of those guys that I've known since I've been drafted. Like, I'm close to a lot of those guys. And, I mean, it's just a part of baseball. I mean, it happens. And, you know, I talked to a lot of the Royals front office guys, just thanking them and everything. And I think just new chapter, like it's been, and just keep looking forward.
Cody, you're not alone. There was a player on the Mets whose family, we're gonna meet him on the road. I believe it was in Washington. And by the time the family arrived in Washington, he'd been sent back to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it
happens all the time. But just what was your, we'll let you go in a moment. What was your immediate reaction when you got the phone call with your parents there?
Well, it was my fault. I didn't save my manager's number in my phone. So when I got the phone call, it was just an Arkansas number, and I was like, man, who is this? So I answered it, and the signal was kind of cutting in and out, and I kind of, like, had to question who it was, and finally he told me, and then I was like, oh, I'm sorry. So I stepped outside. We're actually at Olive Garden eating lunch, and I stepped outside, and he told me, and I walked back in there, and I told my parents, I was like, well, thanks for coming up, but I'm not fishing tonight.
Wow.
I have to say, Cody, I think the biggest lesson that you learned here is save your manager's number in your phone.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask one more question because, you know, for those of us who cover prospects, it gets awfully confusing. How often are you confused for the other left-handed pitching, Cody?
Oh, man, I don't think there's enough times to even think about Kelton. I mean, it happens all the time. I think, actually, when he was drafted, he was drafted in 2014, I believe, and when he was drafted, they showed my draft video when he was drafted.
Well, we had pictures of him with your blurb on the rankings before the trade that we just realized we had the wrong read-up. So I just
going
to have to get used to
it.
If you both get to the big leagues, you'll start getting each other's mail. It'll be good.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. I'll just sign his card, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. It's the same name.
Exactly.
If it makes you feel any better, Cody, there's a gentleman who played in the major leagues for a number of years named Billy Bean, who is now working for Major League Baseball, B-E-A-N. And Billy Bean, of course, the general manager of the Oakland A's, B-E-A-N-E, and yet they would get each other's mail. And there was a time at the first Billy Bean's, at the end of his career in Toledo, they were batting back-to-back. What are the chances of that? But we are so thankful for your taking time to be with us. We applaud you for your kind gesture. Wish you the best of luck in your new endeavors. And I look forward one day to meeting you here in New York.
Oh, yes, sir. Thanks. Thanks for having me also.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cody.
Maybe the lesson is, Jonathan, don't go to the Olive Garden. Who knows?
But, you know. We'll leave that one alone for another podcast.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And maybe there goes the sponsorship. We thank Cody Reed, and on behalf of Jonathan Mayo, I'm Ed Randall. Thanks so much for listening to the MLB.com Pipeline Podcast Trade Deadline Edition.